iHeart Communities, thank you for joining us in another conversation with our friends at the Connecticut Small Business Development Center. Please welcome into our studio Denise Whitford, who is a business advisor and a custom acquisition team leader. I hope I said that okay. And also certified global business professional. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's nice to have you here. And also please welcome Sade Owoye. And I hope I said your name all right, a business advisor and on the operations team.
Thank you. Yes, you did. And I'm excited to be here.
I'm very happy to hear and chat with you and have a great conversation with you in our studio. But also, please welcome on our hotline, Shelley Kohler, who is a business advisor and on the Access to Capital team. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, thank you for having us. Very excited to be here and explain what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for all of you taking time out of your day to be here. Our last conversation, we learned a lot of interesting information for Connecticut small businesses and what they have and what they may not realize what they have available to them. So this is just another extension of that conversation to make people more aware of all of the great things that the Connecticut Small Business Development Center has and can offer to keeping our economy vibrant, because we know small business is so important here to the state of Connecticut. Now, I want to just kind of remind folks about what you all do there, maybe a little recap and summary of the Connecticut small business. But one thing I did learn that has stuck with me since the last interview is that these are businesses that are 20 million and under, which to me, that doesn't seem very, very small. So I don't know who would like to take this first. I'm locking eyes with both Denise and Sade right now. Shelley, I can't see you, but who would like to start us off and remind us about what the Connecticut Small Business Development Center is and how you help?
Okay, I'll start that off if we can, and then Sade, you can, and Shelley can add in. Primarily, we offer no-cost business advising in a confidential setting, and those business advisors are split amongst four teams. You've got three of those representatives here: Capital Access, Operations, Customer Acquisition, and Pre-Venture. And we are funded in part by a grant, a generous grant from the U.S. Small Business Administration, the Connecticut Department of Community and Economic Development, and we are hosted by the University of Connecticut, so we're very proud members to be there. Sade, do you want to take it off and talk about some of the successes that we've had over the past year?
Yeah, so I have to say, definitely unprecedented times for our small businesses throughout Connecticut, and we've had a lot of COVID-19 activity. So in the span from March to September, we have helped over 3,000 clients in terms of disaster assistance. We've secured over 580 disaster loans, which equates to about $51.2 million in emergency capital access. And we've hosted a ton of different webinars and informational sessions for businesses throughout Connecticut, so about 64 different webinars.
Wow, and that's a lot of work, especially through the pandemic. And Shelley, would you like to add to any of that?
Absolutely. So we, on top of all that, as many as we have helped, there's also those that opportunity has come forward for. And with that, we can help them figure that out. You know, those who have lost their jobs, we can help kind of guide them with customer acquisition, what they want to do. They've always had a passion. Now has been the time, kind of the silver lining of opportunities for them to start their business. And we have an amazing pre-venture team, which then flows into customer acquisition, which then flows into operations, and then capital access. So, you know, what we do and how we do it is a little methodical and can be strategic, but we have expertise in all areas amongst the 12 advisors. And the 3,000 that we have helped, you know, through the COVID that are still here, that is continuing. We continue to help them pivot and seek other opportunities where once they maybe didn't have that opportunity, or it is just expanding into a new procurement, as, you know, I know we're going to get into that conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Opportunity.
Absolutely. And before we go any further, if someone is listening right now, a small business is listening right now, you can go online and visit CTSBDC, right? .UConn.edu, CTSBDC.UConn.edu to get more information. And of course, we'll have all of those links live and posted for you. Now, let's go specifically to each guest right now, because I know you have something unique to offer possible customers listening right now. And especially what you're talking about, the procurement and working with all of the different organizations, and also within what you do within your community, within the Connecticut Small Business Development Center. So maybe, Denise, we'll start with you, because I know you have sort of an international flair about you. So what can you offer to businesses, and how is it, how are they able to get these grants?
Excellent. Excellent question. With the customer acquisition team, we look at a number of different things in any way that the customer or the client, I should say, would be looking to build out their portfolio in terms of new revenue streams and whatnot. And two of the most popular ways we do that is working with them on their marketing, their public relations, their branding and whatnot. And that means doing business not just with private entities in the commercial setting, but it also means guiding them in many ways through working with the government. And that could be working with the municipality or a state government or even the federal government, but often they don't recognize they're doing business with a school or a hospital, and in many cases that could also be considered procurement. And sometimes we have a product or service that we help them develop out across the borders of the United States. We frequently look at entering free trade agreements in Canada and Mexico is the most common one, and other parts of the world. And so the services that we provide for them would help them stabilize new to export thought process. Is my product or service able to be purchased somewhere? And so we do market research, look at where the most likely place for that product or service could be placed in either another country. And in the terms of procurement, we want to help them look at how they would find a buyer. Government entities buy every type of product and service that's out there, and it would really be our job to help them assess where they stand. Do they have capacity right now in terms of their inventory, their staffing, and their ability to manage current product and accommodate for that influx of demand so they can fulfill that contract? Again, whether that's with a government entity or a commercial entity or even moving it through the export channels.
And I understand there's a business that just recently worked with you that had some nice comments and a great experience about this. Could you share that information?
I can. I think that the one that we want to talk about a little bit today is going to be New England Bioassay. This was a woman who came through and worked her way up to CFO of the company. They decided after 25 years of being with a division that they were going to spur that division off. And because she was leading it so well and had grown it, they offered her the opportunity to purchase it. So we worked with her to look at what her opportunities strategically were, to assess again strategically what would happen if she spurred out from the parent company, and looking at her access to capital. How was she going to get money to make this happen? And so we went through both public and private sector, placing some funds with the bank. We looked at getting her certified as a small and woman-owned business, and looked again at a little bit more about getting her some assistance from the Department of Labor to maintain her employees and actually recruit some new employees to come in there. And then lastly, of course, we started looking at that procurement. The large part of what she does in environmental testing, which we desperately need when we're doing a lot of business in this country, we want to make sure we keep our environment safe, is look at where her clientele was, and it was predominantly in Connecticut. We started to do searches throughout the New England states and mid-Atlantic states, and she has since developed into a really broad spectrum there. I would anticipate by the end of 2022, she will most likely become double her size in revenues. So this was a dynamic woman who came in and said, I think I need some help. And we said, well, I think we've got some solutions for you.
And I love that each of you are going to share some personal stories like that and success stories. But I do want to interject in here is that these are leading people, that these are people in positions of power that still need a little extra help. You know, they're leading their employees. They're leading the way. They're paving the way in some cases, right? But they still need a little help and guidance with what you all have to offer. And to my understanding, you offer this service at no charge?
At no cost.
I just want to make sure. I was going to say that out loud, and I wanted to make sure because
that
I know
correct.
It sounds almost too good to be true, because it sounds mm-hmm. like you're having a consulting firm, right? Come and help a business person out. But this is such a gem to have here in our state, and to know that this company could be just, you know, based in Connecticut, but be recognized internationally, globally, right? That's kind of exciting to me. So I think this is really wonderful. And the fact that you all offered this amazing advice is truly priceless, right? And that will lead me to Sade. And you know, obviously you have a lot that you do with the small businesses on a daily basis, from operations to finances to even cybersecurity, which... that is fascinating to me and scary. Cybersecurity is you read the headlines every day. Right. You never know what is coming your way. And if you're a small business, you may not have the amount of people to help you with all of that. So I know you like to help people with that. But talk a little bit about what you do on a day-to-day basis. And then I want to hear about your success story,
yes.
too.
Yes. So I am on the operations team. And you hit some of the core focuses in terms of the operations team. I have to say we're really focused on business planning. We do financial analysis and modeling, as well as you mentioned, cybersecurity. And I would say in terms of the cybersecurity realm, it's really about awareness and developing that framework. And for clients that want to do that deeper dive, starting to have the conversation about the plan when it comes to cybersecurity. You know, so making it a little bit more digestible for the client, as well as all stakeholders that are involved within the business. And I have to say, recently, I've had the opportunity to work with one of the clients that I definitely want to showcase case and talk about. Her name is Constantine Aline. Her company is Aline & Co. And the mission of her company is really to serve as a resource for civilian employees, non-uniformed people that want to work in the correctional environment. I really think of her business as really the one-stop shop when it comes to informational resources for that type of employee. And she has been working with us now, I want to say, for about 2 to 2.5 years. You know, I guess time flies when you're having fun, because the time really went by quickly. And it's just amazing to see the type of growth that her business has experienced within that time frame. She originally came to the Small Business Development Center really looking for help when it comes to the business planning process. And I remember receiving in her business plan and thinking, wow, you have a lot of the good pieces. You know, it's all about, I think, massaging the plan at this point to make it more lender ready and putting it more in the terms specifically for the financial projections where it's a little bit more digestible for an underwriter. So that was really the scope of our work, and there was some procurement to it as well.
So when someone comes to you with an idea and they put their business plan together, whether it's, you know, the most perfect business plan you've ever seen, or it's just someone just trying to take a stab at it, and here's their business plan and here's their idea, you actually help them connect all of their thoughts and make it into something tangible. And how do you adjust when so many ideas can be coming at you?
Yeah, I have to say, and you definitely put it very well. I think the first step is definitely, when someone comes in like that, is commending them and taking the first step and soliciting and finding help to move them through the process, because I think it's easier when you're, you know, leveraging and working with an experienced consultant through that process. But also leveraging some of the tools that we have in-house. I have to say, we've recently updated our checklist for starting a business, and that's one of the tools that I definitely like to use with clients that are looking to start a business to make sure they hit all the check boxes when it comes to the process. Because I have to say, it's a little bit methodical, and you want to follow a sequence to make sure you're doing it right. You know, so we work on stuff such as the business plan. I think that's a great roadmap in terms of, you know, just the direction to take with the business. And then move more into more tactical stuff, such as business entity, working with the Department of Labor, CTS, sales tax permit, et cetera, et cetera. So there's many components to, you know, really getting that business started.
Now, I'm seeing Denise shake her head. I'm seeing everyone here in the studio shake their head. I'm assuming, Shelley, you're agreeing with all this as well. I can't see you, but I'm
absolutely.
Okay. Good. I just wanted to get your vote of a nod via the phone line. But you know, I love the fact that basically you're just taking this template that you have, regardless of the business plan or idea. There are things that won't change when you're setting up a small business in our state. There are things that and rules that you do have to follow, and you're making sure you're setting people up to win from the start.
Exactly.
So I really like this. And again, I do want to give out the website again, which is ctsbdc.ucon.edu, but you can also email ctsbdc@ucon.edu. And again, I know I'm throwing a lot out at you, but you can also go to mycommunityaccess.com, where I'll have everything labeled out for you and you can get access to this information. Now our conversation turns us to Shelley, who really, you're built on helping people with capital, growing their business, their revenue. But you're also, I think, I don't know if this was just added because of the pandemic, but you're also helping people with emergency preparedness, if you will, to put it for lack of a better way. So tell me about your story, how you help, and then I want to hear your success story as well.
Absolutely. So for me, I think we're all helping people with, the disaster loans. It has been a group effort. And, you know, if we have our individual clients that we've helped through all this, but then there have been that influx of that just need to find out the information on different, you know, the EIDL loan, the PPP, and we've had a great staff brought in to help with that as well. So while, you know, we're all doing our part, you know, the main client that I have was about that. They were stable. I had them prior, working with them on a little bit of marketing and expanding their footprint. But when the pandemic hit, it's called Modern Milkman, and as well, the bigger piece, or I should say, it's a family business, and one is called Oak Ridge Dairy. So Oak Ridge Dairy is one of the largest dairy farms in Connecticut. And then they spun off to create Modern Milkman, which was literally a milk delivery system. And they also included a bunch of local, products, great, yogurt, cheeses from other local dairy farmers or just other local businesses. So when the pandemic hit, this was kind of a dual piece because they are primarily USDA. So agriculture, they were not included. So it was really tough for Oak Ridge Dairy, who really took a huge loss because they had to stop production. The grocery stores stopped buying everything.
Well, and the schools were closed. I mean, dairy really took a hit during all of this. Yeah.
So, but Modern Milkman, however, is a delivery service. So it was kind of like a double edge, is a bittersweet. Like one was doing well. Modern Milkman took off. Prior, we were helping them expand the footprint. It was a little difficult trying to switch people's buying habits. With the pandemic, it took off like hotcakes. They had two trucks. They now have 10. They're in majority of the bigger, larger communities in Connecticut and have done a fabulous job. But they came to me looking for when are we going to get funding? When are they going to let the USDA help us? And so they just kept in touch with me, and I helped them with Modern Milkman. But on the larger scale, right, their milk, that came a little bit later. So some of the great pieces of this is really the business plan. They needed to reevaluate that. They needed to pivot and really search and look at the trends that were happening, which is all encompassing when they go for capital funding. Even during the pandemic, they were, you know, PPP and EIDL. But now Modern Milkman is expanding over that, and it has really been due to the pandemic. So the bigger picture and what I'm trying to say is opportunity is out there, and there are silver linings in every situation for every business. And it's really about, you know, getting together with your business advisor and revamping your business plan or finding out what the new trend is and seeing how we can help do that.
And did you run into any roadblocks, being that they were a part of the biggest dairy farm here in our state, then spinning off to the small business and then running into roadblocks as to what they actually qualified for? Because it seems like, so that must have been tricky to navigate that.
Well, so out of the gate, there was no navigating because there were no funds.
Well, there you go.
The U.S., yes, for any agriculture. Agriculture was not the first and foremost. It was secondary, maybe even third, but when it came out and when, you know, people started to shift and the trends started to shift, they quickly included the USDA or agriculture business, and that kept them going. You know, it still has not leveled out for them, but it will. But it was a barrier, and they really suffered. And it's the largest, you know, it was the largest. So I can't, you know, speak for some of the smaller ones, but, you know, that had to be tough.
So I'm going to ask a question to all of you, but Shelley, I'll just stick with you first. But, you know, as we are starting to come out and hopefully see the light at the end of this pandemic, I know we're dealing with a variant and some new regulations and guidelines are being implemented, you know, so we're not out of the woods yet. But what can businesses do now to help continue to grow? Do you have any advice? Are there maybe new programs coming out or new suggestions you may have to possibly even new clients listening right now? Any advice that you would have, Shelley, to share? And then I'm going to go ahead, and that's going to be the same question for each of you.
Yeah, and I'm sure we all have different, you know, varieties, but
right.
You know, the new it's really, you have to be open to new opportunity. You can't be attached to what you're doing if it's not working. Trends. We have, as Sade mentioned, we have great tools that can help identify some of those trends or opportunities. Not necessarily location or region wide. That is a tool we have, but that is a cost one. But it's really reevaluating, looking at your plan, and then doing some numbers. And we also have wonderful tools that will help, you know, populate out a projection and see if a new product is viable. And how do you do that? So, you know, really reevaluation, reassessment, what you're currently doing, and then, you know, introducing something new, a new revenue stream, whatever that might look like.
And Denise?
I would agree with Shelley. I think remaining open, and from a customer acquisition side, once you've got that capital, if we are able to work with you and help you navigate those waters, what do you do with that money? How do you think about leveraging that in a different way and expanding your customer base, but doing so in a way that brings you a different kind of ROI, which is your return on investment? Keeping in mind from our perspective, that's going to be about customer acquisition, having data and facts rather than just an opinion, and leveraging that in a way to keep in mind that if your product or services out there, and keeping in mind that the government puts aside special set-aside dollars every year, guaranteeing at least 23% of all federal contracts are awarded to small businesses. And that customer acquisition can also mean going outside the borders of the United States. We're here to help guide you on that and support you, not throw you to the wolves, but really make sure that you do that in a logical process that's going to make success come to you. And I think that the last part of that too is understanding that there are resources out there like the SBDC that are here to shore it up and support you as you move forward.
All right, and Sade?
Yeah, I have to agree with you both, Shelley and Denise, and I think I come from the lens of operations. So I have to say remaining nimble and open is very important during these unprecedented times, but also remaining and looking at the numbers. I have to say recently I've worked with a few clients in terms of the financial analysis and doing the what-if scenarios, you know, so really mapping that out and seeing what is the best course for the future and going through that process, and I think it put you in a place of strength as you move forward, so to speak.
And one last question for all of you, and Sade, I'd like to start with you on this one. What have you learned as, you know, a business advisor, as well as on the operations team for the Connecticut Small Business Development Center during the pandemic that has strengthened what you have to offer? Because let's face it, you all have had to pivot and adjust your thought process too in keeping your existing clients and customers happy, but still, you know, procuring new customers. So what do you think you've taken away from this that has made you even stronger, you know, a stronger business advisor?
You know, I have to say, because this has just been such a different time for all of us, what has really gotten us through these times is listening to our clients and empathizing with our clients. I think that's very important. Coming from the standpoint, you know, I have to say a lot of us have had businesses ourselves or worked in the realm in terms of small business. So, you know, understanding what other small businesses owners are going through during these times and being able to leverage that experience to provide advice and understand, you know, what they're going through during these times has really made the difference. And I think makes us more holistic advisors in a sense.
Well, I feel like just to call you and hear your voice and understanding and just being a friend, whether it's a phone friend or acquaintance, yeah, or whatever, just being a friendly voice of encouragement was probably a lot, right? You know, it probably meant a lot during this time.
to say the least. Yes.
Shelley, would you like to add to that, please?
Absolutely. So Sade said it so gracefully, and it really has been about, you know, listening, because a lot of it is just getting them to a place where they can think about either continuing or what they have to do, because it's so overwhelming. So, you know, the empathy, and as she also said, majority of us have owned our own business, so we've been in their shoes to some extent. You know, the pandemic has thrown a whole different wrench into things, but bringing to their attention that there is someone here to help, and you can email and call, any communication, and there's going to be someone to help you, whatever question it is. That has been immeasurable for them as well as us. And I just want to do a quick little share. As I'm sitting here at the dealership, I was talking with a gal who just bought a couple commercial buildings, and I just shared with her, and she's like, oh my God, I didn't even know. So when we're out and about, and that is absolutely the truth. You know, she's like, I have to, you know, get in touch with you guys. I'm working, you know, need the SBA. So it's one of those where I have found that no matter who I run into, if I hear a little bit of their story or know them a little bit or just eavesdrop, I can share our services, because it is one of the best kept secrets. And it's getting out there, but, you know, don't hesitate. Nothing is too small, and we can certainly, there's expertise here, and we lean on each other.
Well, and we should note, Shelley is calling in, and she is on her off day, and she is so proud to be a part of the Connecticut Small Business Development Center that if you're in her realm of reach and conversation, and she finds out a little bit of something about you, she's going to help you no matter what, because you're calling in to be a part of this interview. So we do appreciate you, as you are taking care of some stuff, obviously, with your car. And we also want to say hello to your cute dog that's with you today, Winter. So thank you for being a silent co-host to this interview.
Thank you for
absolutely, Shelley. But I do, before we wrap, I do want, Denise, I want you to get, you know, the last statement in here as well, because I want to offer you the same question, what you've learned and how it's impacted your work.
I appreciate that. And I have to emulate what both Shelley and Sade have said, is that we've all heard the saying, we've been born with two ears and one mouth. And so we need to listen almost twice as much as we speak. But we need to use that organ in between called the brain. And I've found that inflecting humor after we've heard the client, sometimes during this pandemic, we have really had to let people vent. It has been a real emotional journey for them. Not only are they struggling with what's happening in their homes and with their children in their schools, but they have businesses that have either been shuttered or struggled in some way. So listening and turning that into an action plan demonstrates that level of compassion that we're all so committed to. We love what it is that we do, because we can help businesses stabilize and turn around. What that also taught me was, as I'm hearing all these other folks, I too need to take care of myself and my team. And there have been so many moments. We got together again for a day in a staff meeting. We all wore masks this week. It was so great to be back together after 18 months apart. We missed that human interaction, but we're being so cautious about it. At the same time, we definitely want to see our businesses thrive and survive and grow. So it's taught me a lot of things of what's most important in this world are the relationships around me. And that includes my clients and my colleagues.
I love it. And you know what? If you're a small business in Connecticut listening right now, find out about the Connecticut Small Business Development Center. If you don't know about it, this might be the best interview you've listened to in your life. This could be life-changing. They have wonderful, amazing people. I want you to visit ctsbdc.ucon.edu, or you can email ctsbdc@ucon.edu. Our guests today have been Denise Whitford, who is a business advisor and customer acquisition team leader and certified global business professional, as well as Sade Owoye, who is a business advisor and on the operations team. Listen, I wrote your name out phonetically, and it's such a beautiful name, and I hope I've given you justice.
You did well. Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. And Shelley Kohler, who is a business advisor and on the access to the capital team. So thank you all so much for being here. Thank you for your expertise, your kindness, your empathy, and for helping Connecticut small businesses. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Bye, Shelley.